Welcome to Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. We begin our program this week with a look at the latest evolution of the environmental movement. The image of the environmentalist as the weekend hiking, bird-watching, affluent white suburbanite is changing. A growing number of environmental activists are brown and black and yellow and red. And more, the ecology movement is taking cues from folks who have to live with the ill effects of runaway development. In California, the call for environmental justice is influencing policy at the highest levels and is affecting state regulations on air, pesticide use, water, and waste. Living on Earth's Ingrid Lobet has our story.
Few could remember a hearing quite like one in Oakland recently. Young Latino activists, military base mothers, and Laotian grandparents converged by the busload on the offices of the California Environmental Protection Agency. They came looking for recognition that their communities are unfairly polluted and a remedy to ease their burden.
Mi nombre es Esther Guzmán.
My name is Esther Guzman. Today I've come to demand that you make the regulations for locating new facilities stricter. My children are sick. One of them had to have sinus surgery when she was just 2 years old. You've sent around mobile asthma clinics that hand out Claritin and inhalers, but the problem itself never goes away.
Speaker after speaker pressed California officials to adopt a statewide environmental justice policy that requires detailed analysis of the cumulative impact new industrial projects have on neighborhoods. They also want a greater say over whether such projects should be considered in the first place. Michelle Pritchard is with the Liberty Hill Foundation in Los Angeles, which has been channeling funds to grassroots environmental groups since the 1980s.
I think it's a major turning point. Community activists, academic scholars, policy experts have been working for many, many years to try to put something like this on paper to really create some standards that provide equal protection for all communities with regard to the risks that are posed by environmental pollutants.
What that means exactly is that developers who want to locate a waste disposal plant or build a new factory near neighborhoods where there are already heavy emissions or tainted water may soon have to answer a whole new set of questions and prove to regulators that they've listened to community concerns. Romel Pascual, whose title at California's EPA is Deputy Secretary for Environmental Justice, reels off some of the questions regulators will be posing to developers.
Have you looked at other locations? Have you really looked at it? I think is a question. Tell us, have you looked at it? Demonstrate to us that there are not other places. How did you do those meetings? What kinds of meetings did you have? Did you really sit out there and talk with folks, or did you simply have posted a meeting and hope that people showed up?
Thank you to everybody who has spoken to the committee so far, and thank you for...
In the end, only one person representing California's businesses voted against the new environmental justice guidelines. That lopsided tally reflects a new reality in California environmental politics, one in which emerging community groups are gaining some unexpected allies. The 29th floor of PG&E, the electric utility that has powered San Francisco for 100 years. PG&E has its own environmental image problems. It was portrayed as the water-poisoning villain in the movie Aaron Brockovich, and residents who live near PG&E power plants blame the company for high asthma rates. But PG&E Vice President for Environmental Affairs Robert L. Harris sat on the committee that drafted the new environmental justice guidelines, and he voted for them. Part of it, he says, is just good corporate policy. Part of it was also that activists backed down on one of their key issues, the precautionary principle. Put simply, environmental justice groups wanted the government and business to err on the side of caution, to look for non-toxic alternatives even when a product hasn't been proven to be harmful. But they opted for pragmatism and accepted language that promises something less, a precautionary approach, a term no one has yet defined.
The environmental community did move significantly, environmental justice community, I should say, on that particular issue, because there were some people who felt strongly that it should be a precautionary principle language with all of the baggage that it brings with it. To move to a precautionary approach was a significant change, I believe, for them.
Support like this from the 29th floor is becoming more common. The decision makers are not as monochromatic as they once were. That's another reason the environmental justice agenda has migrated from the kitchen table to the boardroom. But not all businesses signed on to a document they believe will present a whole new set of hurdles and uncertainty. Chemical companies lobbied hard against it. Cindy Tuck of the California Council for Environmental and Economic Balance cast the lone dissenting vote and says business will continue to fight even a watered-down version of the precautionary principle.
You're talking about regulating based on allegations of harm as opposed to credible information or good science. And it talks about shifting the burden of proof to the proponent of the project. And there's a concern that it's not possible to prove a negative.
Unlike the past, however, the industry view did not prevail. California Governor-elect Arnold Schwarzenegger hasn't spelled out his views on environmental justice yet, but the combination of existing statute and the growing push from community groups means this shift is likely to continue. Diane Tekforian chaired the California EPA committee.
Definitely. This should be the guidance for environmental justice for the next 10 to 20 years.
Meanwhile, a national EPA Environmental Justice Advisory Committee is tackling many of these same questions. So a policy at the federal level probably won't lag far behind California's. For Living on Earth, I'm Ingrid Lobet in Los Angeles.